Welcome back to Farm Talk. Again, the second segment of our Great Outdoors segment, and visiting with North Dakota Game and Fish Outreach Biologist Doug Lear. Doug, I know we got a couple of different topics. One more question for fishing. I have not heard of a lot of boating accidents, not to say that they're not happening in North Dakota, but how has boating safety been in the state so far this year?
So far, so good. And I've heard of a couple of nothing too significant, nothing too serious. But, knock on wood, the problem with any kind of accidents or incidents, we could be talking on a Friday afternoon, something could happen while we're speaking, or Friday night. But you bring up a good point, is we really want to make sure, whether it's heading towards the 4th of July, your fifth trip out or your first trip out, to please, abstain from overindulging in alcohol. Not just the kids to wear life jackets, but adults to wear life jackets. They make life jackets that are really designed and engineered, whether it's for fishing or jet skiing, so that you can move your arms. Invest in a life jacket. The best life jacket, I always tell people, is the one that you're going to wear. Invest in it, and it'll last. It'll last a long time. No pun intended, but it'll last a lifetime. So invest in that life jacket that you're going to wear. It'll keep you comfortable. And then also remember, when you're on the water, to keep yourself hydrated, wearing sunglasses, keeping the sun out of your eyes, because we get back into those hot days again, and you start to kind of lose maybe your depth perception. And we just want to make sure when you're out on the water that everybody stays safe, including yourself.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk spring pheasant surveys and any updates on that. How are things looking?
Yeah, actually, our spring crowing counts, we just got some of the numbers back here, and they're up 30% from last year, which might be a little bit of a surprise for people because of the winter that we had. What it really does is it reinforces how strong of a reproduction that we had last year. We had a good amount of reproduction, which is what, we lost pheasants over the winter. I'm not going to blow smoke up your kilt. We had a tough winter on pheasants, but it shows when you have the right conditions for a hatch, for brood production, that can really overcome some of the winter that we had. We lost a lot of pheasants through the winter. I'll break it down just a little bit for some people that are already, I don't want to bypass fall, but the reality is, there's some people that just can't wait to get out and go pheasant hunting. Southwestern North Dakota, our pheasant numbers were up from last year and I'll just give you a number, from 14 last year to 19 this year. In Northwestern North Dakota, they were up from 13 up to 16. Southeastern North Dakota, they were up from 10 up to 13. So that's kind of a numerical visual to show that our numbers were up 30% from last year. We'll see what we have for production. That's one of the things with the hot stretch of June that we had. We're hatching out those pheasants. We like to have, insect production. That's what those little pheasant chicks eat. So might be a little bit spotty, because the insects need a little bit more moisture, a little bit more precipitation. And there's places that had that, but as we all know, there's a lot of places that were pretty dry. So we're going to cross our fingers just a little bit. So that's the spring crow counts, up 30% statewide from last year. Where we really get a better idea of what you're going to have this fall is when we get our brood surveys. And we don't even start running those until the backside of July, when those pheasant chicks grow a little bit bigger, and we'll be driving along at dark 30 in the morning to see those pheasant chicks out on the gravel road, like the mailman gets to see, that the farmer going into town for coffee gets to see. And that gives us a better snapshot of what we might have for hunters to shoot this fall, Eric.
Okay. How about for ducks and geese, along the same lines, or?
The duck and goose was actually about steady, and the difference in the duck and the goose, the waterfall numbers are, those are something of a species that's not resident. They're the ones that are migrating out of North Dakota. They come back and nest. So really, we don't typically see as drastic changes in bird numbers from year to year on waterfowl. What I will tell you that was kind of interesting is the actual wetland index this year, because we're going out and we're counting the ducks, and then we're also counting the wetlands. That was down 26% from last year. So it's an indication of how, yeah, we had a lot of snow this winter, and winter lasted a long time. But once the snow melted and we're out there doing our waterfall counts, we didn't have the water index. It was still definitely above the long-term average. It was 76% above the long-term average. Last year, I think, was, if I'm not mistaken, last year was like a top five in wetlands. So the fact that, you know, we're down from last year isn't as significant. The actual waterfowl numbers, mallards were down just about 10%, but still very high in the, you know, in the long-term survey. The Canada goose numbers, if you're if you're a farmer and you get frustrated with the number of Canada geese out there and your soybeans when they're popping out, our Canada goose numbers were down 23% from last year. So that should make some of the farmers and the landowners a little bit happier, knowing that there's not quite as many Canada geese on the landscape as there was last year, Eric.
You know, one thing that I was looking at, because we're going to talk about deer as well if we get time here, but hunter education. You know, people don't think about, especially if you're a new hunter or a youngin, getting ready to go to the hunt. You're like, oh, I'm excited about deer hunting. Or, oh, I'm excited about pheasant hunting, as we're talking.
Yeah.
You got to have your hunter education. So, and there's some stuff going on actually right now. I'm actually on the website looking. There's 5 seats open here. There's 6 open there. There's 2, believe it or not, open in Fargo in July, which is crazy that there's even anything open. So that might be something to look at.
Boy, did you hit the nail on the head. The last thing you should do is wait until September or even August if your son or daughter, or maybe you're planning on going big game hunting in another state. If anybody needs hunter education, time is definitely running out. As you referenced, places, you might have to drive. We don't have all we do is list classes that are open right now.
Yep.
Hunter education classes are all taught by volunteer instructors. So if you're going to need a class and you can't find one in your town, maybe you can't find one in Grafton or Langdon or Lisbon or someplace else, become a volunteer hunter education instructor and you can pick the time and the location for your hunter education class. But that's a great point to bring out there for anybody is don't wait any longer. If you know somebody that's going to need hunter education, the best thing that we can encourage you to do is to check and to check and to check. Then you can subscribe. We have text alerts when a class, there might be a class that opens up in Harvey, or there might be a class that opens up in Hankinson, and you'll get a notification of that, Eric.
Yep, absolutely. And I learned the hard way. My kids, all of a sudden, it was a few years ago, but like I think we got into August or September, and they're like, hey, I want to do this. And I'm like, yeah, about that. All the classes were full.
Right.
So we had to wait another year, basically, to go all the way around again until the next hunting season, because, you know, hunting seasons last a month or whatever it happens to be, and very unlikely you're going to get a safety training class during that time right before it. So just to keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you bringing that up, because no matter how often we remind people, that everyone's like, oh man, we were going to do that. Now we missed out on it, but check, you never know, and keep on checking.
Yep, absolutely. Last thing, deer lottery, when is that going to be held?
I don't know is the short answer.
Okay.
Soon is the long answer. I know people always get impatient with it, but just remember, before electronic license application, we weren't finding out about the deer lottery until the state fair. I remember people asking at the state fair, which is the backside of July. So I think last year we had it done by the 4th of July. So, you know, don't hold me to it. Who knows? You know, the squirrels might be having the lottery as we speak right now. I know it's not squirrels, but the computers might be figuring it out right now. I generally like to say, don't get too worried about the deer lottery until we hit the 4th of July. Typically we have it done by the 4th of July, but just like everything else, you know, they might be ready to hit the button and something comes up, and the last thing we want to do is go, oh, we held the lottery. Oops, it didn't work right. We got to do it again. So we always try to make sure that we've got everything in line and everything in place before the deer lottery is held. But it should be happening by the end of June, by the first part of July, Eric.
Okay, that's a big deal for folks. And I suppose no tip if there's going to be more antlerless deer tags available or anything like that. Just asking.
I can tell you that we had 75,000 hunters apply, which is down a little bit. So you never know. I would venture to say, if it's anything like past years, we may have some tags out in southwestern North Dakota. If you don't get your buck tag in Fargo or Grand Forks, you might be able to get a doe tag in southwestern North Dakota, Eric.
Okay, very good. That's going to do it for another week. Time flies by. We appreciate you swinging by. Stay safe and enjoy the cooler weather, because the heat, I'm sure, is coming back.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Have a great weekend, Eric. Thanks so much, my
friend. All right. Thank you. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Outreach Biologist. That's going to do it for our Friday segment. And, of course, that's going to do it for our Farm Talk segment for the week. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here again on Monday.